Good morning.
Good morning
and a happy Easter to you all. And we're delighted to see so many visitors with us this morning. This is wonderful. Please do stay for refreshments after the service when we can all have a chat. The refreshments today will be served in the lower hall as the tables are still set up from breakfast. So we'll be going through to the lower hall at the back there afterwards, and there'll be coffee, tea and cake. There's birthday cake for Beryl, one of our members, who was 90 last week, and she's got birthday cake there for us today. There will also be people available to pray with you or for you for anything you have on your mind over in the prayer station over there after the service. Or if you see anybody with one of these lanyards, they will also be happy to pray with you. It's an opportunity to give thanks for something good in your lives or to ask for help for anything that's concerning you. If you need a notice sheet, if you haven't received an email, can you ask me afterwards? I've realised I've not put them out. So if you ask me, I can find you one, I'm sure, after the service. Sorry about that. And I trust that you will have seen the butterflies at the back of the church. Lovely display that's put up by the Dorcas group. These butterflies are to represent hope, as you see here. And they will be used as a display in the church window, and then they're going to be given out to people in the town with words of encouragement, of hope for the future and for the world when we get a spell of dry weather. Don't want our butterflies ruined. So do enjoy looking at the butterflies. Now today we're delighted to welcome Andrew Maisie to lead our Easter Day worship. So welcome, Andrew. And now can we have a short prayer as we begin our worship together? Living God, we are here once more to celebrate in your resurrection and rejoice in your victory. We give thanks for your living presence with us now, Lord of life. Receive our praise, our worship, and ourselves as we come before you and hear again the message of the risen Christ and recognize your presence amongst us through your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Wow, that's impressively loud. How delightful to be here with you. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
I was going to say I hope you're all going home to a massive Easter egg, but that depends on whether you like chocolate or not, or whether you can even eat it. But, well, there we are. Enthusiastic response. But whatever the day brings, our prayer today, of course, is that each and every one of us, however we've come into this place, whether we're full of expectation and excitement to worship the God who made us and loves us, or whether we're weighed down with cares and responsibilities and fears, our hope is that every single one of us will open our hearts and minds to God this day and will leave this place, as Jane said, singing God's praises, for God is indeed good. So we're going to stand and sing our first song, See What a Morning, Gloriously Bright, which tells our Easter story.
See what a morning, gloriously bright, with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem. Folded the grave clothes to as the angels announce Christ is risen. See God's salvation plan, wrought in love, born in pain, paid in sacrifice, fulfilled in Christ the man, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead. See Mary weeping, where is he laid? As in sorrow she turns from the empty tomb, hears a voice speaking, calling her name. It's the Master, the Lord raised to life again. The voice that spans the years, speaking life, stirring hope, bringing peace to us. Will sound till he appears, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead. One with the Father, Ancient of Days, through the Spirit who clothes faith with certainty. Honor and blessing, glory and praise to the King, crowned with power and authority. And we are raised with him. Death is dead, love has won, Christ has conquered. And we shall reign with him, for he lives, Christ is risen from the dead.
Thank you for your joyful singing. Pray with me. God of beauty, God of power, God of strength, God of love, we come into this place this morning as your children, each one of us made by you and each one of us loved completely by you. Your strong arms surround us every moment of our lives, and it is your love, your inspiration, your passion, your joy that fuels our existence and is the foundation of our lives. For whatever happens on the surface of our lives, we are grounded firm and deep in your great love. And today, on Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the truth that you rose from the dead, as you told people, and the realization they had, as we do today, that we spend every moment of this life bathed in the light of your love. And more than that, we know that when this life ends, we will see you more clearly and be completely united with you. For love transcends all things. And you are the God of extravagant, exuberant love. And it is our joy and our privilege to have this day, to have this moment, to worship and adore you, to turn our hearts back to our Creator and to say how much we love you. For you are indeed all and everything to us. So God of love, of peace, of joy, and of strength, be with each and every one of us this day and in this moment. Remind us of how blessed it is to be gathered here in the intimacy of our fellowship with brothers and sisters who walk life's journey with us, who share the same experiences, who have such rich and diverse lives that we can learn from. Here in this place is a glorious opportunity of exuberant love. So ground each and every one of us, your loved child, in the peace and security of this place. And may we all turn our faces towards you, wreathed in smiles and filled with joy. For you are our God, and we love you. Be with us this day and forever. Continue to carry us as you often have, and be there for us to lean on, speak to, and walk the journey with. Lord God, we love you with all the heart, mind, body, and soul you gave us. Now we offer it back to you, for it was never ours to keep. May we share the love and the gifts and the talents that every one of us has, and share them without reserve with all we meet. professing Jesus as our Lord, Saviour and King. Amen. We've got two tremendous immediate opportunities here to create beauty and joy and wonder and life in all its fullness. For all the men here, I'm sorry, that means doing two things at the same time, but for ladies it'll be fine. We are going to decorate the tree with any flowers that you've got. And at the same time, whether you're coming up here with a flower or you're sitting where you are, we're going to take the opportunity to share the peace. Now, it's pretty obvious to see what's going on when we decorate the cross. Flowers will go on. Hope you like the fact that mine is wrapped in an old brown pita bread bag. Anyway, out it comes. It's been preserved. We're going to decorate our tree like so. And that's tangible. We can see that. But we're also going to create something really, really wonderful, which is the unity of our fellowship. Because in this place, we are all potentially strangers to one another. But the beautiful thing about a church fellowship is that that doesn't matter, because we all know that we were made by the same God, and we all know that we are loved by that God. That makes us God's sons and daughters, and by extension, as I greeted you at the beginning, brothers and sisters to one another. So I'm going to invite you to A, bring your flowers, and B, take as much time as you like greeting your brothers and sisters, saying the peace of the Lord be with you. So let's do that now. Peace of the Lord be with you. The peace of the Lord be with you. Well done. That's good timing. I just finished my last handshake. Hey! Well, you see, there's a visible fantastic thing, and I hope, well, I know, because you can feel it, can't you? The love that's in this place that you generate with your warmed hearts. And that's what God's love gives us. Now, our junior church, do we have any junior church? We do. Are going to leave us to do their own activities, so let's have a prayer. So loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for the different ministries that are fulfilled in this place. We thank you for all those who lead our junior church, for their time, their passion and their energy and their love. And we thank you for all our young people who come and for the joy that they bring to our fellowship. Lord, may we continue to know that we are one fellowship, even though we go into two separate parts of this building. And keep us strong in our love for you. Amen. So, we stand and sing a song that talks of our blessed state. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. Freely, freely we have received. Freely, freely give.
Go in my name.
And because you believe, others will know that I live. All power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven, in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name I come to you to share his power as he told me to. He said, because you believe, others will know that I live.
Thank you for playing that so beautifully. So our reading today for Easter Sunday, no surprise, is the story of the discovery of the empty tomb. Now, we've got it from John's Gospel, and this is really, really, really brilliant, because John's Gospel, for me at least, is just full of so much information and so much detail, but also, in a way, cuts to the chase of our very belief and our understanding of what God has done for us. It is just so rich. The only context you need to be aware of is, obviously, we are on Easter Sunday. Prior to this, John tells us that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who you may remember, is the chap that Jesus spoke to at the beginning of John's Gospel when they had that wonderful dialogue when Jesus tells him he needs to be born again, and he gets, understandably, quite confused about that, and it doesn't really go anywhere. But Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus take Jesus' body and place it in the tomb, where it remains undiscovered for a couple of days. And then Dorothy and Shirley are going to read to us. Thank you.
Morning. I'm reading for the New International Version from John 20. The empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in the place, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Thank you both for reading that so beautifully. It is, I said to Shirley, a moment in the Bible, I think, when Mary makes that statement back to Jesus, an impossible statement to read without bursting into tears, because it is just so moving. It is just so profound, that moment of revelation. What I want to talk about this morning is what John's Gospel is all about, which is a big task. And I want to talk to you about how that relates to Easter Sunday, and I want to talk to you about what that means for your and my faith, and what believing in the risen Jesus means today. So not much of an objective. But I'm going to start by talking about the fact that on my mobile phone, I have a picture of the night sky. So it's a black background, and there are lots of multicolored dots all over the picture. And you would be forgiven for thinking that this was like a Hubble telescope or a James Webb Space Telescope deep sky image, you know, where they peel away all the layers of time and peer back and get all these objects that we call stars visible in an image. But it isn't. It's actually an image from a different telescope called the Chandra X-ray Telescope, and its little dots are dots of X-ray radiation. Now, the reason I mention this is because what that is showing us is not the stars, but in fact black holes. Because you'll know that as part of a black hole's existence, you may be forgiven for thinking nothing comes out of a black hole. And that is true past the event horizon. But as matter is drawn towards it, it is compressed and it screams with X-ray radiation. And if you have a telescope like the Chandra X-ray Telescope, you can pick up these X-ray dots across the universe. And there are hundreds of them. It's not just the old black hole here and one over there. They're all over the place. In fact, there's an emerging view in the scientific community that black holes are the reason the universe exists. They're not destructive things, like sometimes people think, but in fact things that give new birth. But the reason I'm telling you this is the fact that you can only see them with an X-ray telescope. Okay? If you stood out, even in a beautiful clear sky, using your eyes or a normal telescope or binoculars, you won't see them because black holes, big surprise, don't emit any light. So you won't see them. You need the right equipment. And I think this is incredibly helpful in terms of what John is talking about, because John's main point in telling you all the stories that happen with Jesus is to dive into that big debate about seeing and believing and how the two things are not the same. Loads of people saw Jesus, the person we know as God in human form, and they danced with him, and they laughed with him, and they walked with him, and they parted with him, and they heard what he had to say, and they saw his miracles. Loads of people. But as you know, if you read the gospel stories, even from a quite cursory perspective, not everyone fell on their knees and said, "My Lord and my God." Lots of people just ignored him. To lots of people, it didn't make any difference. To some people, it was such a threat, such a challenge to their authority and the way they saw life going, that they murdered him and put him on a cross. That's the reaction that people had. Seeing something does not mean you believe it. And what this passage is all about is it beautifully brings this to a head. Because seeing with your eyes is clearly not enough. We've been told in most of the Gospels three times how Jesus said to the disciples, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be handed over to people who hate me, they're going to murder me, and then 3 days later, I'll rise from the dead." And every single time we hear him say that, it's normally followed by a sentence that says something like, "But the disciples didn't understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him." That's how it's gone. But this is how the events have actually played out. Jesus told them what was going to happen, but they didn't see it. And what do we hear in this reading? We hear early on Sunday morning, Mary goes back to the disciples and she says, "We don't know where they've put his body," implying that there was more people there than just her. Some people went to the tomb, the stone was rolled away, they looked in, Jesus' body was no longer there. So they thought, you may say forgivably, they thought, well, Jesus has gone. Jesus isn't here. We can't interact with Jesus. We can no longer be with Jesus because he's not here. That all makes sense, doesn't it? And that's what John tells us. That's what happens. That's what they say. And then what happens next? Two of the disciples go to the tomb. Simon Peter, impetuous Peter, rushes straight into the tomb. He uses his eyes, kind of a good idea, otherwise you bump into the walls. He uses his eyes when he looks around the tomb, and he draws the same conclusion. Jesus isn't here. There's no body. Where's he gone? And that, again, is understandable. But what happens next? The other disciple, the one who people think who actually wrote John's gospel, the one referred to as the one that Jesus loved, he goes in and John says, just drops in those little words, you may have missed them, he went in and he believed. He believed. But then they both went back home. Mary has the conversation with angels, would you believe? She goes in and sees angels sitting there, has a conversation. "Who is it you're looking for?" they say, with some sort of almost callous surprise. "You know, what's the problem?" And she says, "I'm looking for Jesus. I want to see his body. He's not here." And then she turns around and meets this bloke who she thinks is the gardener. And he says, again, slightly callously, seemingly, "Who are you looking for?" And she says, "I'm looking for Jesus. Have you got his body? Because if you've got his body, I'll go to where his body is, and then I'll be with him." And he says her name. And the word that she comes back with, when she says Rabboni, actually is the word reserved for teacher, but specifically in the context of God. It is God the teacher, not just your school teacher. So she also has got something. She's received something. She understands what it is. Now, the reason why I want to stress this with you guys is because it's exactly the point that we all face in our own lives every day. Even if we say that Jesus Christ is our risen Lord and Savior, and we know God's love in our hearts, there are plenty of days when we turn away from God and do our own thing. There are plenty of days when we think we are the center of the universe and we have strength to cope with everything and we don't need God at all. And we negate that, let alone the people who you may engage with who say to you, well, I can't believe in God because I can't see him. Or show me something. If you're a keen student of the New Testament, you'll know that the religious leaders of the day came to Jesus and said, give us a sign and then we'll believe. And Jesus said, there's really no point because you're not in that place. It doesn't matter what I do, you're not going to see it. And this is the nub of the issue. It is not about seeing it. For all of these people, and it's the same through all of John's gospel, you'll remember back in chapter 9 when Jesus heals the man born blind. If you haven't read it for a long time, go home and read John chapter 9. It's the most brilliant bit of pantomime you can ever imagine. It's fantastic. It's funny. It's so us. Because you may remember that the man was healed of his blindness on the Sabbath, and the religious authorities wanted to get him to say to them that Jesus had done a bad thing because he'd done it on the wrong day. He had shown love and healing and compassion and restoration, and that was all very nice, but he'd done it in the wrong way. And there's that beautiful, beautiful phrase in verse 25 when the man says to them, I do not know if he, meaning Jesus, is a sinner or not. One thing I know, I was blind and now I see. Which is kind of the end of the argument, really. And what John is always keen to tell us about is the fact that restoration of sight isn't about physical restoration of sight so people can see. That's fine. But the man then meets Jesus later and he falls upon his knees and says, I believe, Lord. Lord. And that's the journey that the disciple who Jesus loved and Mary have just gone on in the reading that we've had. They stopped using their eyes and the penny dropped. Now, this is great news for us. Because quite often people will say, you know, if only I lived in those times, if only I'd met Jesus, then I would know about him. The disciples and those people who met with Jesus, they had it hard because they interacted with Jesus in a physical way, in a normal way. You know, they could sit down and have a cup of tea and a biscuit if such things existed in those times. They could go and watch a movie together. You know, they could do things like you and I do with each other. And they could touch him and they could smell him and they could shake his hand and embrace him and laugh with him. And it made them think that they were with Jesus. And they were the man, Jesus. But they clearly and evidently weren't with God in human form, Jesus. Because they didn't understand any of those things that he said, those spiritual things, the things about dying and rising from life. That was beyond their comprehension. And when people are dead and their bodies have gone, then they're not there anymore, are they? That's how we think. But actually, what the message is here, and they had to learn it, but you and I don't have to, because Jesus has been raised from the dead, and we know him in our hearts centuries later. What we have to understand is that it's not about seeing. Just as your eyes can't see black holes, so you're not going to get belief in God by looking for him. Is he there? Is he over there? Is he up here? There's a very famous thing C.S. Lewis wrote about when the first Russian cosmonauts went into space, and they famously reported that they'd gone into space and they hadn't found God. Well, sure. If what they were expecting was a cloud and a big guy with a beard, sure they didn't see God in space, because that's not what God is. But if that's what you're looking for, you're going to be disappointed. These people and you and I see the inverted commas, God, not with our eyes, although those can help. We see God because we experience the world and people, and like Mary and like the disciple who walked into the tomb, looked around and put it all together, because we've heard about Jesus and then we see the evidence around us. We are convinced and convicted, not because of something as trivial as sight. Oh, here's a postcard, I see it, it is real. We are convicted because we look around the world and immediately in our location and we see what God has done. I am standing next to the biggest visual clue of that you can possibly think of, because this was two bits of stick and some chicken wire previously. Now it's been turned into a thing of beauty and a thing of awe. But more importantly than that, it was formed by the hands and the feet and the intention and the love of you guys. You got out of your seats and you put a flower on there. When we shared the peace, you got out of your seats and you embraced, shook hands, met the eyes of another human being who you may not even know, and you said, "You are my brother, you are my sister." And that's what God's love does. That's what we see and gives us belief. Not something we're supposed to sign up to because someone tells us to, not something we feel we ought to do, but because we see. And just as Thomas, later in the Easter story, we'll hear, says to Jesus when he comes before him and says, "Do you really want to touch my hands? Do you really want to put your hand in my side? Will that convince you?" And he falls to his knees and says, "My Lord and my God," because then it makes sense. Then the penny has dropped. Now, I can't tell you how to get that understanding. The Bible is just full of people who didn't get it. And to be honest, none of us really get it, and we certainly don't get it all the time. But it's got to do with being alive in the world, hearing, as you all have, about how much God loves everyone and how God is in all things, and actually being awake and alive enough to look around you and say, "Do you know what I saw that person do? That was love. Do you know what those people do when they gather together? That's because of love. Do you know when they have breakfast together and when we share coffee together? And good news, guys, there's cake. It's because of love." You know, no one's telling us to do these things. We're doing it because it's lovely and it's beautiful. And if we can see beyond the normal and the surface, we see profound things. Human beings who have nothing to do with each other, loving one another. Because they know they are loved by God. That's awesome. It's brilliant. It's fantastic. It's why we call it good news. It's world-changing. And however you feel about the world right now, I visited somebody recently and they said, "Do you know, everyone who comes to see me is always so miserable. You know, they're always so fed up. It's all negative. And by golly, if you read the news, there's quite a few things that make you quite mad." We especially now need to be those people who walk around and share glory and joy and laughter and hope, because that's what we've got in our hearts. And the world needs that. And just like people say, "Well, if only I could see God, I'd believe," which, as we've just hopefully deconstructed, is a nonsense. Also, people will say, "Oh, but I can't make much difference in the world. I'm only small." And the point is, you live in your context. You and I engage with different people. And in every single one of those encounters, there is an option. You're either going to make them happy or you're going to leave them underwhelmed. Hopefully you won't leave them actively angry, but you may just leave no impression. Our calling, and it's huge and big and wonderful, is to take that love that God has shown by dying for each and every one of us and share that love with the same extravagance that we were given it. We just sang it. Freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. And that's our calling. And it's a big one and it's important. You and I can make a huge difference in our world. We can make people feel better. We can encourage them. We can enthuse them. We can be positive. We can be hopeful. All because of what we know of God. And that's not because you have your own inner strength. It's because you take it and you see it and you feed on it. Remember what it felt like to share the peace in this place. The buzz that there was. The joy as we all stumbled over each other and made mistakes. And have I done you yet? And all that sort of stuff. You know, it's good. It's fun. It's creative. And this is what God's love does for us. Easter Day is a day in the calendar when we can say, yippee, this really happened. But honestly, every single day, every single moment, we really ought to be thinking, thank God, literally, that I have this life, that I have this moment, that I have these people to interact with. And share that love without reserve. You and I are just so blessed. And I hope through all my ramblings that somehow you've got a sense of that. That you matter to the God who made you. And that, quite frankly, is the most important thing you can ever tell anyone. Don't feel lonely. Don't feel put down. Don't feel inadequate. Don't feel lacking. Because God loves you, and you are precious, and your potential for good is immense. So be filled with joy and filled with peace, and go from this place to love the world and its people just as much as God loves you. Brothers and sisters, you are a powerful force for love because of what God did in Jesus. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Amen. So, let's sing of that. We sing a song called All I Once Held Dear, which beautifully for me sums up the fact that everything we possess of worth and beauty is God.
By faith what I could not earn,
all-surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Know to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're the all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Love you, Lord.
Thank you so much for that beautiful playing. And thank you for your singing. We're going to turn all those thoughts into the most powerful thing we can right now, which is have our prayers of intercession, which is a time when you look at your world, the people you've been given and entrusted to, the situations that you care about, the things that are on your heart, look at them through God's eyes. Look at them with eyes of love and acceptance, joy and peace. And offer them to God, not in a way that we need to tell God about these things, but that we join with God in loving these people and these places. There is a very simple response. If when I say, Lord, in your mercy, you could respond with, hear our prayer. So pray with me. God of infinite power, of glory, of strength and of might, you formed the universe. Every atom that exists came from you, and we ourselves are formed from the dust of the stars. We are yours, made and owned completely by you. Lord God, we thank you that you have always, always been with us. And we're sorry for the many, many times when we've gone our own way. Lord God, our prayer is that just as Mary came to an understanding when she saw you, when the pieces fitted together, that each one of us will grow stronger in our love for you and for the people you entrust into our care as we understand just how incredible your love is. Just exactly what you did by dying for each and every one of us, setting us free from sin and from guilt, from all those things that hold us back, our upbringing, our culture, our traditions. For you came to show us life in all its fullness, and each one of us here is a beautiful vessel with the most amazing potential to share love and peace and joy in the place where you have put us. Lord God, we can't do this in our own strength. We're not good enough. We're not strong enough. We're not as dedicated or holy as we should be. But we know that when we have your love in our hearts, then just sometimes we can do things that will bring joy to others. We can bring about peace. We can speak out against prejudice and injustice. We can be those who unify and infuse. And this, Lord, is what you meant by the kingdom of heaven on earth. A kingdom not made up by lines on a map or a language or a uniform, but a group of individual people who know that they are loved by you. So, Lord, as we prepare to offer to you our prayers, calm our hearts and clear our minds. Help us to look upon your glorious face of light and love and be filled with peace. May each one of our hearts open the door and let you back into the place you were meant to be. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So, Lord God, in the silence, each one of us offers to you and your empty cross the people and the places that your Spirit has placed upon our hearts this week. God of extravagant love, help us to know how we can be love to these people that we've thought of, how we can inject peace and enthusiasm and joy into the situations you send us into. Help us to know that you are always, always with us, that we can talk to you always, to rely upon your strength at all times, to lean upon you and grow closer to you. This is our greatest joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So, Lord God, help each one of us, your loved child, to open our hearts and minds to you, to come home and be the people we were made to be. Fill us with that love and that vision of unity and joy for all people everywhere, that our lives may indeed show that we are yours, that you utterly and totally own us, and that we are filled with such joy because of that. Lord God, we are your children. May we never, ever doubt that we are always held in your strong arms, that your love will always be with us, and that we are special and treasured in your sight. Lord God, with this joy, with this affirmation, our prayer is that you send us from this place to sing your praises in action and sometimes in word. And that in the time that is entrusted to each and every one of us, we make a positive difference to the people we meet. We bring about the kingdom of heaven in our small part of the world. And in so doing, sow the seeds of unity and peace amongst all peoples everywhere. Lord God, this is our prayer. Help us to draw closer to one another so that we receive that encouragement and that knowledge of what life's journey is really all about. And help us to draw closer to you, for you are the source of all our joy. and we love you beyond words. We ask these prayers in and through the name of Jesus, who is for us our Lord, our Saviour, and our King. Amen. And now, with strength and confidence, let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we want to thank God for the gifts that this community offers. It is partly financial, but more importantly than money is the gifting of your warmed hearts. It is the love that you have in your hearts for others. So, Lord, take this offering of people, of talent, of time, and of love, and use us for your glory alone. Amen. Well, thank you all so very, very, very much for being here. It's been an utter, total joy to share worship with you today. Thank you for all of your warmed hearts and for the potential that you all have to go out and be light for the world. Bless you. We're going to sing our final song, which I've chosen, of course, because it's just really good. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. We talk about being put back for God's great use.
Life is not without thee.
in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won.
So, dear brothers and sisters, loved children of God, be filled with joy, be filled with peace, and be filled with strength in all the beauty that God shows to you. Go from this place to shine and be joy to the world. Amen.